Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Welcome, welcome. You know, you look good out there. You know, when we have this number of people come to the chapel, which most of the time, especially among the women, each services, usually we give about 3 or 4 services. And guess what? It'd be full. Yes. The men may not necessarily be the same. I noticed that when the women's services, it seemed to be a little more praise, uplifting, more than the men. But that doesn't say that the men are not appreciating what they praise when it comes to praising the Lord. Because we have a couple of yards that we go to that they really get involved. I'm not just talking about the praising, not just the singing, but in testifying. And one thing that is unlike today, we don't have a lot of preliminaries in prison. You know, we don't have children's story. We don't be lifting offerings. You know, we there for a certain purpose, and we only have a specific time. Matter of fact, we can't even go over time. We have a certain time to be in there and out because we have to move on to the next service. And so a lot of things cut out. So when he says, when Curly said, we're going to do just like we do in prison, I said, well, then you asked for a very short sermonette, brother, because we only do about 15 to 20 minutes. And since it's 2 of us speaking today, that's even shorter. But I'm going to tell you something. One man on our team did a sermonette. I think we had less than 10 minutes. Matter of fact, I think it was about 5 minutes. What had happened, the count on the yard has happened that by the time they got it all straightened out, the hour in which we supposed to been there, by the time they let them out, we only had less than 10 minutes before we had to leave and go on. And we looked at the most experienced brother in our group, Eddie brother. We sit back and relax. And you guess what? The one that usually talked the longest, and we have to, you know, that person did it through God's help. And the message was given. And afterward, they came up and thanked him for what was said. And you know what? That just let me know that God is in control. It's not our service. It's God's service. You know what I notice? Every time I go and I think that we are in charge, God comes up with a different plan. And I said, you know what? He just letting us know he's in charge of these services and not us. It's a humble. And I have to say, I appreciate the good team that we have. And we certainly miss the ones from Bakersfield. I know we have a few, but there were more than we used to have. And because of sickness and other things, the illness and so forth, and not able to get around like they usually, we miss them very much. And I see a few of them sitting in the audience with us this morning. And this morning we have special prayer for our sister Dixon. And she was one of the faithful ones that came, and we miss them. And we have a saying that, you just didn't come to this service by accident. You did not come here just to be here. We believe the Holy Spirit led you here today. He led each one of us here today. And I have to say something that I don't say in prison so forth, because my wife came. And I'm saying that those who know me for Fresno, my wife came. You know, she did not feel well last night. She said she wasn't coming. So I made other arrangements. And then she got up this morning and said she felt better and she wanted to go. Just let you know, God is in control. And I said, you know, when she first told me she wasn't coming because she didn't feel well, I said, this is the only time you're going to see me to do what we do in prison. You know, she doesn't go in there or anything like that. And I said, well, maybe something else is in plan with God. And I have to say this. See, I'm supposed to do a sermonette. Frank and I got together last night. And I said, I want to just talk about what it is in present that we see. And we see God's hand moving all the time. We are seeing God made it possible when it was impossible for us to get in. We did not have the right, well, I say we had the right ID, but it may be because of program changes. It's been, in other words, the time has been suspended or delayed, and we go in, and they say, well, your term has expired. You can't go in today. I say, what? We can't go in today. We have prayed. We have even prayed, and we even gone and asked the tower, the lieutenant of the day, or whatever you want, the officer of the day. And we've been praying, and the message get to the officer of the day, and words have come back, let him in, let him in. A lot of officers glad to see us come in. And I want you to know, we are not the only ministry that goes in. You have a lot of other ministries that go in. So, as a inmate, you're going to hear a lot of subjects with different views. When I say different beliefs than we have. Can you imagine if you came to church every week, and another, you have been during the week, you've been attending other denominational services, and then you come to this one, and they hear things that's different than what they heard. And this is why we advocate the Word of God, daily prayer. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. I say, yes, you may hear me. You may hear other organizations that's come. You may hear other ministries come in. But let me tell you, sisters and brothers, you're going to have to get in this Word and pray. And let the Holy Spirit teach you like he has taught us. You know, we're even among our own spiritual leaders and ministers. Hey, check it out for yourself. Whatever he preaches on, go back to the Word to see if it is so. You know? So we are, you know, we tell them and we pray that this is what is required of us to study and read his Word every day. And then we testify. You know, their testimonies are no different than yours. When I say they're no different than yours, a human problem, whether we are incarcerated or whether we're not incarcerated, you know, it's the same. There's not too much difference. They say, pray for my sister, pray for my mother. Pray that I will overcome. this habit that I have. Pray for my other cellmate. Pray that I will hear from my family. This past week we had one person stand up and said, you know what? I've been praying that my mother and my sisters would come. He said, I've been praying a long time. He said, guess what? And he had a report to praise. They came this week. I said, you know what? That brother never gave up. His faith stood strong. He never gave up. He was consistent and persistent in our prayer. And when I see that, that uplifts me. That's what I need to do. Now, I'm going to say something that's out of the box. It's not been anything, but it's out of the box. And now, I have a daughter who's trying to get a house. You know, she's trying to get a house and so forth. Right now, she's living with us, but this is the part I want to. And she said, Daddy, are you praying? I said, honey, you know I'm praying. I'm praying for you to get a house. You know I'm praying. You just don't know. Anyway, you know, grandsons. And so, you know what? The spirit, I don't know. It just told me. So when we were in the services, I got up. I said, you know what? I want you to pray for my daughter that she get a house. We have heard before that she may not get it. But, you know, that's where it stands right now. And I asked them, will they pray? Not right there, but on their own, you know, pray. And they don't know yet completely. But when I came back home Thursday night, she said, Dad, I received a phone call. And this was after 9 o'clock when I got home. But about that time, she received a call. The man said, the house is not going on the auction. They pulled it out of auction, and they, you know, it's going to be whatever they process through for the next 30 days. And so it's unlikely that it's going to be auctioned off. I said, praise the Lord. I got a praise report. And my wife and daughter, a praise report. What you doing? I said, I told the prisoners to pray for you. I said, but they haven't got the report yet. I said, when I get back, I'm going to be glad to tell them what has happened. Yeah, what you say? Yeah, there are Christians in prison. I hate to tell you that, but there are some Christians in prison. And they pray and they read. And one brother over in, and they know who I'm talking about, in A Yard, not only he, and this brother's strong in the word, and not only strong in the word, he strong in Ellen G. White. Man, he'd be tired and say, what? You know what I'm saying? He combines the two. And everyone knows what he believes in on that yard and other men on that yard. And all of these that go in can testify to that. You know, God told us to go into prisons. How many of you are between the age of 25 and 45? Just raise your hand, 25 and 45. How many are in that age range? That's about the age of that range of prisoners. Now, and this is one of the contrasts. Most of us who are going in now, we are above 45. I never see it again. I won't even see the reverse 54. I'm not going to even see those numbers together again. So what am I saying? I'm saying this, is that, hey, we need some younger to reach the younger. I'm not saying they're not listening to us or the word of God. I'm just saying, I think, you know, they need to know that there are some other people around their age that is on the outside that's really serving the Lord and believe. Not all of these are from Christian homes. And you know what? There have been special days like Father's Day. We say, how many fathers do we have? Do you know almost every hand goes up? And then we ask, how many of you are grandfathers? Most of the hands go down and a few hands go up. And one time, I asked how many great-great-grandfathers we had. Because two hands went up. And I got to think, I said, man, the fathers are incarcerated. Where are the sons and the daughters? I'm talking about this father, supposed to be the father of the home. And then we go to the women prison. How many of you have children? And if I'm not mistaken, man, I see you 100% going up. There's not too many hands that are still down. You see, we have women say, pray that I may be able to see my children. Pray that my children are all right. Because, see, some of them are not with a relative or with a grandmother. Only reason I say grandmother more than grandfather, because 9 out of 10, that's who they're going to be with if there's a choice between grandfather and grandmother. Most of them going to be with the grandmother, providing if the grandfather and grandmother are not together. On one occasion, I saw a grandparent. And she was not young. Now, that's one thing that we do in prison. If you get too over your time, they come and pull your coat. And guess what? They so faithful in doing that. I mean, they right on time. He just letting you know, hey, brother, your time is up. I just thought I'd just tell you a little bit about what we see and do. Instead of hearing two sermons, because that was kind of hard for me to knock in my head, two sermons. And so at this time, Brother Edwards, you may come to the...
I currently pulled my coat before I got up. I perceive virtue have left me. I wish you were in prison today. Isaiah chapter 58 tells us that this is the fast that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke, to share the food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer shelter and clothes for the naked one. I wish you were in prison today. What takes us in and out of prison is nothing more than prayer. I want to read a statement on prayer. If you can take this and just translate this into your mind, into what you see, what you think, inculcate it whichever way suits you. It says, prayer is the answer to every problem in life. It puts us in tune with divine wisdom, which knows how to adjust everything perfectly. So often we do not pray in certain situations because from our standpoint, from our outlook, it seems hopeless. But nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is so entangled that it cannot be remedied. No human relationship is too strained for God to bring about reconciliation and understanding. No habit so deep-rooted that it cannot be overcome. No one so weak that it cannot be made strong. No one so ill that he cannot be healed. No mind so dull that it cannot be made brilliant. Whatever we need, if we trust God, he will supply it. If anything is causing worry and anxiety, let us stop rehearsing the problem. Hello. Let us stop rehearsing the problem and trust God for healing and love and power. Amen? That's what it does. So when we go into prison, we rely on prayer. When we are in prison, we see men and women who are relying on prayer. If anybody here has ever done time, quote unquote, done time, you know what I'm talking about. I have not, but I've listened to the records and to the experiences of those who have, excuse me, who have. And it is not a place you want to be. I wish you were in prison today. Because you would come into the chapel with a bounce in your step, a smile in your face, and the joy of the Lord in your heart. I wish you were in prison today. Because if you were, when we come in and we said, praise God, you would shout, hallelujah. I wish you were in prison today. Because when I said, praise God, you would shout, hallelujah. I wish you were in prison today. When I say, praise God, you would shout. Oh, yes, you get him. But you're not in prison yet. I wish you were in prison today. When I say, praise God, you would shout. Yes. You see, that's what prison does. Because you are so happy to see another person who has left their busy schedule to come in and spend time with you. You are not a relative. You're not a blood member. And yet this person has left their time to come and stay with me. Pastor, I don't know how appreciated you feel when you stand at the front door and shake hands. But we get so many hugs out the door and say, please come back, sometimes with tears in our eyes. Wow. Truly appreciated. I wish you were in prison today. I wish you were in prison today. So that when you greet a brother and sister, you truly feel the love of God flowing from one person to the other. Because maybe it's your only escape from the reality of a cell for that day, for that week. Prisoners have no other appointment after they leave the sanctuary. It's either lunch or dinner. And then they go back to a cell. I wish you were in prison today. I wish you were in prison today. So you can stand and see that young man who's standing there. As Sister Betty Dixon stands on that Mother's Day weekend that we were there. And she starts speaking as a mother to a group of men. And one man stands up and tears coming down his face. He said, my mother has not come to see me ever in this prison. And here I stand. My mother came to see me today. I wish you were in prison today. I wish you were in prison today so that young man who comes and shakes your hand and leans into you very closely and whispers in your ear, happy Sabbath. And right away you make a connection. I know who he is. And then he says, I graduated from Monterey Bay Academy. I wish you were in prison today. His accent was a little bit different. And I said, where are you from? And he said, Guyana. Oh, he made a connection. And so I've been here now over 10 years. My mom, my dad had never been to see me. My sisters had never come to see me. Mother died earlier this year. But the trust that has been put into him, into his hands, is so enormous. Because you see, he was a ministerial student of Adventism. Serving 25 to life. But he says, I take full responsibility, and God has me here for a purpose. And each one of us that go into that yard can testify, we see the purpose. We see the purpose. The order that he's brought to that yard, He has been given authority. He, like Joseph, has been given full reign in that yard. He's an inmate. And sometimes you'd never know, except for the clothing. And here he was. He showed me a letter given to him by the warden that says he is the inmate chaplain of that yard. I wish you were in prison today. Because then you would understand why many of us walk about the streets of Bakersfield, Shafter, Wasco, Arvin, Lamont, and even Fresno. And we are more bound than many men that we meet behind bars. Why don't we see you often here, Brother Edwards? Well, you got to keep me out of prison. Because if I'm not going in with this group, I'm in there visiting somebody else. I've got a young man I'm working with right now over on the coast. Very challenging case. He's out. You see, prison is not only it. When they get out, it's another story. Hello. Prison ministry is not just getting up and giving a service and going into prison. I've been woken up. I've picked up many men at Lairdo at 1 o'clock in the morning. I've sat in this parking lot out here and tried to keep men out of prison, right, sitting right there at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Prison ministry is not work. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Ask Brother Daron Johnson, ask Sister Owens, and they'll tell you, it's a blessing. Brother Johnson did this over 40 plus years. Is that right? Yes. Sister Owens, I know how many years. How many? 51. You're not even that old. 51. This is a woman that can do anything. Amen? You know, but that's what we face when you're in prison ministry. It's a continual ministry. It's continuous. You're constantly engaged in something for someone else. And the blessings flow. As we meet out in the parking lot before we leave, after a service, the biggest thing we said, boy, we're so blessed today. We leave with a blessing. These men get duped. They think we're coming to give them a blessing. No, we steal it from them. Oh, it's wonderful. We come out of there blessed. We're pumped, ready to go. I wish you were in prison today. Then you'd fully understand what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 25, verse 42 and 43, I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was homeless, and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, you gave me no clothes. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't come to visit. Is that what he's talking about? We're not telling everyone here today, you know what, you've got to get involved in prison ministry, but I want to tell you this. If you're not involved in some ministry, you're not involved. If you're not involved in some ministry, you are not involved. All we're doing today is highlighting prison ministry. We're not belittling any other ministry, and we're not super uplifting this ministry. But if you're not involved in some ministry, and some people, I'm ashamed to say it, but there's some folks in here right now who doesn't even know, when I use the word ministry, what I'm talking about. I have a son. Everybody knows my son, Franklin. I cannot tear him away from Valley Bible Church down in Brundage, because they are so hooked up in ministry that he can't stop. He just can't stop. He said, because folk come up to him and say, what are you guys doing out here? Why do you have a prostitute ministry? They have a team that goes out and just ministers to prostitutes, ex-prostitutes, ministering to prostitutes, showing them a way to get out of prostitution. They're the only church that rents a booth in Las Vegas at the porn convention. But the pastor says, I don't care. If I keep baptizing people because of that booth, then I'll keep doing it. You see, ministry is doing. Looking at what Jesus did. And getting out there and doing it. That's what it's all about. Getting out there, finding where there is a need and meeting that need. But many times we're more content to sit back and have religio-political discussions in church. We're more content to argue a minute point of insignificance rather than doing the ministry that God has asked us to do. I vowed, you know, since my brother had some time, I'm going to be like Elizabeth Taylor. She told her ex-husbands, I won't keep you long. But we need to know, we need to understand that we need to always remember God has called us to ministry. If you doubt me, read Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11, and you understand what it's all about. What are the gifts about? What are the things that he's given? It's all for ministry. And I want to encourage you today that ministry is everything. Yes. And all I can say is, I wish you were in prison today.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.